Starting a new job. Now, I realise that's an experience that I've had recently, but this is not about me. It's just purely a coincidence. But you're starting a new job, and as you start, you have this excitement about the things to come, some enthusiasm, maybe some nerves, but you're looking forward to it. You're getting excited. You want to get stuck into this new work. But then over time, perhaps you find that that enthusiasm wanes a bit. You know, you're getting into the routine, the mundane. You're getting bogged down, perhaps even in difficult situations. Maybe you're feeling a bit snowed under with this new work. Maybe also, after being in a particular work for a long time, you learn the kind of things you can get away with, how you can cut corners, how you can get away with being a bit lazy. But is the Christian life like that? Some might say that that is evidently seen before us in our land, in Western Christianity, that people start off with a bit of excitement, don't they? And then over time that seems to die down, sadly. And then maybe even getting to that point where we are starting to be a bit lazy, cutting corners, seeking to get away with things. The Bible has a lot of different analogies of what it means to become a Christian. One of our favourite words, I'm sure, is saved. The Bible talks to us about us being saved, about being rescued. The Bible talks about us being born again, as another analogy that Lord Jesus Christ used. Converted, we use that word. Being brought from darkness to light and being brought from death to life. Wonderful truth. Perhaps about being adopted into God's family and all the privileges that that brings when you become a Christian. We're being made co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible things. We have the mystery of God, as it's called in the Bible, revealed to us. Things that before we didn't see, we can now see. Our eyes have been opened. And we've been purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these different analogies to what it's like to become a Christian. Well, I've used this new job analogy this evening because in the passage that we read, in the verse in particular we're going to be looking at, we see that Jesus gives people who he calls to his service and to follow him, he gives them a new job, a new priority. And what is it? And how is it going? We're going to be considering these things this evening. How can we be better servants of our master in this role he's called us to? So the verse in particular that we are going to be looking at is found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And Jesus said to them, that's to Peter and to Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, before I go on, I should perhaps just reassure you that men there in the original doesn't just mean men. It does mean men and women. I will refer to the verses talking about fishers of men, but it means going and being fishers of men and women. So there's going to be 3 points, and it's all from this verse. Firstly, Jesus said, "Follow me." That's the first point. Well, unless you've begun to follow Jesus, you cannot be a fisher of men. So I think we need to start there. Have you begun to follow Jesus? Has Jesus called you to follow him? And have you responded immediately, just like Simon, Peter, and Andrew? I wonder if that gripped you as you read it, or if you've read it before and you've noticed that Simon, Peter, and Andrew followed Jesus immediately. It appears that Jesus has just come upon where they are working by the lake, and he's called them to follow him. And they just get up and go without a moment's thought. Wonder why that is. Well, we read, MacDonald read for us from John chapter 1. And we see that actually this passage in Matthew wasn't the first time that Andrew and Peter met Jesus. They'd met him previously there where John was baptizing. Andrew first met Jesus. We read that Andrew was a disciple of John, wasn't he? And then he met Jesus and he followed again immediately. When he met Jesus. And what did he do? He went and told Simon Peter. It really ties in with what we're thinking about tonight, that immediately he went and told somebody else. We have found the Messiah. And it was at this point when then he brought Simon, his brother, to meet Jesus, that Jesus then gave Simon the new name Peter. It was at that point. So the reading isn't the first time when Peter and Andrew met Jesus. They already knew him, and obviously they already had some measure of faith that he was the Messiah, the one that they'd been expecting. Well, Jesus had also just begun preaching the gospel. We read in verse 17 that from that time, Jesus began to preach. So this is the first record, if you like, of Jesus' public ministry. And what's the first word of the first record of Jesus' public ministry? It's repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached the same message that John had been preaching. John had been preaching repentance as well. And wherever Jesus went, he preached this message. He preached the message of repentance. It's the message that we preach. It's the message that we love to hear. Some people in these days, they want to hear novelty. They want variety. But what do we want? Hopefully we want the old, old story that we sang about earlier on. The only gospel. It's easy for people perhaps in the world today to hear about Jesus and think of him as meek and mild and gentle and sweet and gracious. And actually, that's true, isn't it, of what we read in the Bible. Jesus is and was all of those things, wonderfully so. Perhaps as well, they see our church and other churches like it as being a bit negative and a bit miserable because we're preaching repentance because of the message. But actually, it's an amazing privilege that there is still time to repent. Jesus preached this message nearly 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years later, we find that that message is still true. There is still time for sinners to repent. The gospel has always been the gospel of repentance, and it will always be that. If you're not a Christian this evening, the message is the same. The message of Jesus is the same to you, and that is to repent. Well, what does it mean? It means to turn. Repent literally means to turn. To turn from going your own way and doing your own thing, the way of the world. The way that we read of in the Bible leads to death and destruction. Turning from that way to Christ and to his way. It's wonderfully positive. If ever you get the impression that repentance is a negative thing, it's totally opposite. It's a very positive thing. Death to life. Destruction to knowing Jesus and his way of life. And Peter and Andrew did exactly that immediately when Jesus called. They repented, they turned from their own way and followed Jesus and his way. We pray that Jesus will call you this evening if you haven't responded already, and that you too will respond immediately, just like Peter and Andrew, in obedience and faith. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." If you hear Jesus calling you this evening, don't shrug it off. Follow him. And then to the Christian, if you are a Christian and you have followed Jesus, then you need to go on following him. This message is the same. Follow me. You can testify, I'm sure, that Jesus received you when you followed him. And all that he has been to you has been good and perfect and loving and compassionate and merciful and gracious. You can testify to that being true. And you can tell others here perhaps this evening that if you follow Jesus, this is how you will find him. But how are you doing in following him? Are you going on? Are you growing? See, the way to grow as a Christian is to follow Jesus. It's the straight and narrow path. We must go on that path, following him. If we want to be effective in serving Jesus and being useful for him, then we need to go on following him. And to really follow him, not to pretend, not to do it half-heartedly, and not just going through the motions. It's actually easier to do a lot of things than it is to follow Jesus. It's even easier to preach than it is to consistently follow Jesus. It's easier to put on a performance in church as a member. It's easy. Then it's easier than following Jesus. One man said, "There are many who perform, but few who are." There are many who perform, but few who are. See, it's hard. It's hard to follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 said, "The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The men in this passage, Andrew and Peter, They followed. They left everything that they had. They left everything they were doing to follow Jesus. They left their job. But we're not all called to do that. But it will be hard. You might get mocked for following Jesus. You might get disowned by your family. You might even lose your job, especially the way that our world seems to be going. It's going to get harder, isn't it, to follow Jesus. But also daily we have to deny ourselves. Repentance is an ongoing daily thing. But again, I say to you, it's not a negative thing. It's turning from that which is deadly and decaying and turning to that which is life-giving day by day. But it is a fight and it is difficult. We must be doing that. We must be turning from all that would make us worldly, because fish cannot catch other fish. That's true, isn't it? It's fishermen that catch fish, not other fish. The worldly Christian cannot convert the world. One reason why the church in our country is having such little effect, little influence over the world, is because the world has so much influence over the church. What's the desire of your heart this evening? Is it that you would be, if you were honest, is it that you could be more like the world? Can I get closer and closer to what this world is like and all the attraction? Can I have as much of that as possible whilst remaining a Christian? Or is it more that can I be as much like the Lord Jesus Christ as possible? Can I be more and more like him and less like this world? Jesus said, if salt has lost its savour, what good is it? And those are serious and sober words that we ought to think upon. We need to be anxious to follow Jesus in obedience. He is our master and our Lord in everything. We don't often use the word master of our Saviour, but it's true. If we want to be effective in serving Jesus, then we need to be more and more like him, more and more clean and less like the world. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The emphasis there is that we should follow him. If we don't follow him, then we can't really expect to see people saved. We can't expect to fish effectively if we're not following Jesus. One man said, follow Jesus, diligently attend him. That means listen to him, doesn't it? Humbly imitate him. How can we expect to bring others to the knowledge of Christ if we do not know him well ourselves? There's no learning comparable to that which is got by following Christ. Christ is our great pattern. So our first point this evening is follow him, follow Jesus. Secondly, Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. So we're looking at the fact that Jesus does the work. It's interesting, actually, where Jesus went to call his first followers. Where do we find him? We find him in by the Sea of Galilee. And just like Jesus was not born in a palace and yet born in a stable, the king of all creation was not born in a palace, but born in a stable. Just like that, he didn't go amongst religious people to call his first followers. He went to these fishermen. Now, I wonder about yourselves, or how you feel about serving him. Maybe you feel that you're a bit too shy or a bit too insignificant in the world's eyes. Maybe you think, oh, I'm too young to do this. Maybe you think you're too old and unable to follow Jesus in what he calls us to do. Maybe you think I'm too unwell. I've got this holding me back or that holding me back. Maybe you think you're too poor or too uneducated to be winning people for Jesus. Well, look at these two men, Peter and Andrew, and then later as well, James and John. They were fishermen in Galilee, a really remote part of Israel. Nowhere near the sort of main thriving, I suppose, bustling cities. But up in a remote part where they wouldn't have been cultured particularly. They wouldn't have been refined. They wouldn't have been well-educated and probably not that wealthy. And yet that's who Jesus has gone to call, to follow him and to serve him. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So if you're feeling you can't be used by the Lord Jesus Christ, then hopefully you can see from this example and from that passage that Jesus calls people to follow him, not because of any worldly standard, But Jesus qualifies people for the work himself. He calls them to do it. He gives them the authority. And he sends them in his wisdom, in his strength. It's all about him. We've seen that he will do this when we walk closely with him. But also, he will do this through experiences of life. We all go through different things in life. And I wonder what sort of things you've been through. And whether you can see how they make you better able to fish for men. Nothing happens by accident, does it? By chance. Jesus has a plan for our lives. And he will use the experiences of our life to make us better able to serve him. I remember I visited a missionary couple in Manila in the Philippines. And I was talking to the chap, a man called David. And he told me about his background, and he grew up in nominal Anglicanism. Where people just sort of go to church because that's what they've always done. They go on a Sunday, they don't think about it again for the rest of the week. They don't really think about how it all applies to their lives. They don't think about what they believe. They just sort of go to church out of a sort of religious ritual. And he was in that situation. He became a Christian. He became an ordained minister in the Church of England. And he was telling me that he can look back now and see that all of that experience was to enable him to serve God in the Philippines, a country where many, many people go to church every Sunday, perhaps even more often, through ritual and through religion, and not out of their own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He could see the experience of his life prepared him for that service. And that could be the same for us. We're not all going to be called to go abroad. I pray that God will call some of us to serve him in that particular way. But we're all called to serve him in testifying and witnessing to the gospel. And all of our experiences can help us in that. If we are following Christ closely, we'll find that everything that we go through will help us to be fishers of men. Back in November, we as leaders in the church and in the cluster, the local cluster in Gwent, had the opportunity to listen to Andy Pitt, who came down from Merthyr, to tell us about some of the things that that God is doing in the church up in Merthyr. And it was fascinating to hear the stories of how people walking closely with God knew God speaking to them, perhaps not in a clear way, but they could see that God was leading them to different people, giving them the words to say, and stories of people who would think, I think I should go and visit so-and-so. And when they turn up and knock on the door, that person is saying, how did you know? How did you know that I was desperate and you came right at the moment I needed you? Well, I was thinking about those stories because it's when we walk closely with the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't even know that God is leading us to these people. And yet we do it because we have an inclination this is the right thing to do. And it is God working through it. And you can look back and say, God was in that. And I didn't even know it. God wanted me to do that. And he did it. It's a bit like when people have been married for a long time. I don't know if people can testify with this. And perhaps they're out for a meal and you can look at their table and they're not talking at all. But both know exactly what each other's thinking. They are having a conversation. It's just got no words in it at all. And it's a bit like that, I think, when you're walking closely with the Lord Jesus, that you know this is what he wants me to do. I don't know exactly how I know, but I know because I walk closely with him. I have a relationship with him. That should be our desire because he does wonderful things when we walk closely with him. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's all pray, each and every one of us, for this filling for ourselves and for our fellow believers and for the leaders in the church. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, I pray that every righteous man, vexed as he is with the conversation of the wicked, may be more importunate in prayer than he has ever been and return unto his God and get more spiritual life, that he may be a blessing to the perishing people around him. Quite old-fashioned words, but I'm sure you can see what he's saying. That if you are looking at the world around you, and it does bother you, vexed, as he said, it bothers you, the world around you, then pray more about it. Pray more than you ever have done. Return to God. Get more spiritual life. That's what Spurgeon would say. and then be a blessing to those around you. That you know God better, that you can go and follow him and do as he wants us to do. So, much more briefly, that Jesus it is who makes people fishers of men. So that, thirdly then, that calling that we've been all called to be fishers of men. I wonder if you've ever been fishing. I'm sure lots of you have. I haven't. I have never been fishing. I don't think I'd be very good at it. I'm guessing that fishing is an act of faith, isn't it, in a way? You cast a rod out there with a bait on the end, and then you hope. Perhaps you can inform me later that there's more to it than that. But that's it seems to me. I'm sure there is more to it than that. I'm sure there's more. I will come on to that in a moment. But it is an act of faith. And just like that with witnessing is an act of faith. It is our duty to go out there and cast our rod, to go out there and tell anyone who we can, wisely, at the right time, but to tell people the great news of the gospel, to cast the rod, and then to trust God that he will do the work. That's where the faith comes in, that he will do the work. It is God who saves. It's not up to us to save. But we must cast our rod, but we must do it and say it in a way that Jesus would, with great compassion. You remember the way that Jesus looked upon the people, and he had great compassion upon them, because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Some of the ways in which Jesus calls people unto himself. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You know, it's easy to remember that we are all sinners deserving of judgment. But Jesus didn't seem to declare the gospel in that way all of the time. He came and he looked upon people and had compassion upon them and saw that they were weary, heavy laden, and needed only the rest that he could bring. People need Jesus. We need to take the gospel out to them because they need to hear it. When I was at university, I had a friend who, I think he would say he was an atheist, and I lent him a CD of Christian music because he was really into his music. And I said, have a listen to this, see what you think. And he liked it on the whole. He did like the CD, like the style of the music. But there was one song in particular that he told me he didn't like. I liked the CD, but I didn't like that one. And that one was a song that was really clearly about the fact that everybody needs Jesus Christ. And he didn't like it. And I always thought after that, I wonder if it's because it was so clear. You see, we sometimes will tell people things that they just don't want to hear. But they do need to hear it. We must cast the rod. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? You see, that's the challenge to all of us, isn't it? Everyone out there, how are they going to believe if they never hear? If you think of somebody in your family, amongst your friends, who you think, oh, they really need to hear the gospel. Well, it's your job to tell them. It's your job to tell them the great news of the gospel. There's no room for a cop out there. How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? So I was saying earlier, I'm sure there's more to fishing than just casting a rod and hoping. I'm sure fishermen and women are clever and wise. They know what they're doing. They're experienced, and from that experience, they know where to cast the rod. They know where the best place they're likely to catch fish. I'm sure they gain lots of skills over time and techniques, and they know what they're doing. But we too need to be thinking and praying carefully about what we can do to win souls. To be thinking carefully about it, to be creative about it, to be thinking and praying, how can I share the gospel with such and such a person? How can I tell them? It's right to pray for them. It's right to pray that they will be saved. It's right to pray that the gospel would come across their path. But even better than that, to be praying, how can I tell that person the gospel? When I was the first summer camp I ever did, I remember on the Sunday, they wanted to make the Sunday different to every other day, rightly so. And so they invited a speaker to come in who wouldn't be there for the rest of the week. And I don't remember much of what he said at all. But one thing has stuck in my mind ever since. And that is when he was telling us that when he was a child and he went to school every day on a school bus, he was a Christian. And every day he would pray on that bus for opportunities to tell others the gospel. Every day he would pray on the bus for opportunities to tell other people the gospel. And he said to us, and this is why it stuck with me, that every day he did have an opportunity to tell others the gospel. It really left a mark with me because I thought that's what we all should be doing, seeking God every day for opportunities to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure as well that fishermen go out in all weathers, especially if it's their job, if it's their employment. That's the, how they're going to make money. They need to go out whatever the weather. And we need to be going out preaching the gospel, telling others the gospel, whatever the weather, however we're feeling, whether we feel up to it, whether we feel we're good enough. It doesn't come into it. We need to be out there. If we wait until we feel good enough or feel up to the mark, we'll never do it. It's similar with prayer, isn't it? If we feel we can't pray, we won't pray because we can't pray, then we never will. And yet we are commanded to, and we desperately need to. So no matter how you're feeling, no matter what situation it is, we need to be seeking those opportunities and doing it until we wear ourselves out, in a sense. I always remember John Blanchard preaching at the ABBA conference on a Monday night and saying that as he gets older, people say to him, "Maud, you know, take it easy." And he said, it's the phrase he hates above all other phrases, "Take it easy." He said, "I've got all eternity to rest. Now my job is to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." This morning, Ian said that challenge was one of his favourite words. I have a challenge for us all in the week ahead, that we take the example of that man I spoke about from the camp, and we pray every day this week that the Lord will give us the opportunity to share the gospel with someone. Maybe there's somebody in your mind right now, a particular person that you would love to tell about the great news of the gospel. Perhaps you've spoken to them a bit about it before, and you want more opportunities to do so. Well, pray for them. Pray that even if it's somebody that you meet for the first time this week, that before you didn't know, that you would have an opportunity to tell them the gospel. But that you would do it winsomely and with wisdom and with courage and with boldness. We would do it in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ would do it. We live in dark times, don't we? We live in evil times, and we must let our lights shine. A tiny light is still a light. If you don't feel up to it, you still have that light in your heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to let our light shine. One of my favourite songs, a Christian song, is called "Go Light Your World." And the refrain in the chorus, "Carry your candle, go light your world." Take the gospel wherever you go. Take opportunities, pray for opportunities to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Let's pray that he will enable us to do that in the week ahead. In his name, amen. Well, we're going to close our service with hymn number 500.